Well, good morning.
Good morning.
There's a story told about Andrew Jackson when some of his childhood friends were thinking about his life and about the fact that he was a general and president of the United States. And one of his childhood friends said, you know, he said, I just can't hardly believe that he did all of this. I mean, you know, in our neighborhood, he wasn't even the smartest guy. He said, well, Jim Brown was smarter than he was. And he said, as a matter of fact, 3 out of 4 times he could throw him out of the ring wrestling. And someone commented, said, well, why the fourth time? You know, in wrestling, and there's just 3. Why the fourth time? Said, well, Andy, as he called him, would not accept defeat. And by the time they had the 4th match, he would just wear Jim Brown out so much that he'd finally throw him out of the ring. Out and win the match. So 1 out of 4 he won, but in his mind he was not giving up. Now I think that there is something to that, as the quote unquote, the way that the story went, he was thrown out of the ring. And it's really not how many times you and I get thrown or thrown out. You know what matters is that we keep getting up and that we keep fighting. And spiritually, that's the way that it happens. You know, when you think spiritually, we're knocked down a whole lot spiritually, right? And it's not how many times you get knocked down. It's whether you're willing, with the amount of strength that you have left, to get back up. And it might just be that time you get back up, that you win, or that you persevere, or that you move on. And so what that kind of tells us is that there are stages, right? Stages in life. There are stages in spiritual growth. God wants us to grow, and I believe that one of the things that we learn from this particular story is that God does things at times in stages. And certainly spiritual growth happens in stages. I love the Peanuts. I'm a Charlie Brown fan, and I know some of you are, but I thought this was rather interesting. Sally was having a tough time once trying to remember what her scripture that she was supposed to memorize for the week was. So she was trying to remember back to Sunday school, and she was thinking back, now what was that scripture and what was that? She couldn't bring it to the front of her mind. And she said, I think it's in that book, Reevaluation, thinking of Revelation. She said, I think it's in that book of Reevaluation. Well, I don't know if that's an actual book, but I do like the thought. And maybe that's where we are in this stage in our life spiritually right now. Maybe we're in that reevaluation stage. Maybe we're in that stage where we just need to take a step back and find out where we are spiritually. You know, do we need to correct some things? Are there some things that we need to do differently? Are we kind of stagnant in our spiritual growth? I mean, honestly, assess where you are at this moment, at this stage in your life. Are you where you need to be? Are you where you want to be? You know, I love people who, even older in life, who have studied the Bible countless hours through the course of their life, and you find one of their Bibles. How many of you have seen those old Bibles that a grandfather or grandmother or a faithful member of the church would carry around? And that thing looks like it's worn out. I actually have a copy. I have Christy's grandfather's Bible. It was, how many of you remember the old Johnson notes? Some of you remember. You've had those old Johnson notes. It's kind of like a running commentary through the New Testament. And I think they did it in 2 books because it was so big. And I have, I think it's Matthew through Acts, if I'm not mistaken. It's got duct tape on the binding. You know, the pages are worn on the edges. You can tell he spent a lot of time studying the scriptures, studying the commentaries that others read. And I love to see that. That tells me that people, even in their older age, are admitting, I don't have this thing figured out. That I still need to grow. I still need to persevere and push through. And I love that. Listen carefully to these scriptures. Now, I normally don't do this, but I want to do it this morning. I want you to listen through these scriptures. I'm not going to ask you to turn there and follow along with me. Just listen and find the common thread running throughout each of these scriptures. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Ephesians 4:15, but speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Colossians 1, verse 10. So that you walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all aspects, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings of Christ, about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. And I want to say something about this verse after I read it. Like newborn babes or newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that you may grow in respect to salvation. I think sometimes we misunderstand this passage a little bit in the sense that, you know, we're told to not be babies at times, to grow up and sink our teeth into the meat of the word. But this passage is not really doesn't have any of that idea in it. What Peter is saying here is that, you know how a baby, and I think about this because we have a baby in our home now, you know, that there are times where Joseph is extremely happy. Life is great. And then it's like someone flips a switch and he is immediately hungry. And what do? We're rushing around. We're spilling formula all over the place. We're trying to get that bottle full and we stick it in. And then he's satisfied. Think about what Peter's saying. Peter is saying that the way a baby desires milk when it is hungry, that's the way you and I need to desire God's Word. We need to desire God's Word the way a baby desires that milk. And that's the one thing that will satisfy him, that his whole being is so upset until he gets that milk. Peter's saying that's the way we should be about God's Word. Amen? In 2 Peter 1, verse 5, now for this very reason also, applying diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 80. And the child continued to grow and become strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until the days of his public appearance to Israel. Luke 2, verse 40. The child continued to grow and became strong, increasing in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. Acts 9, verse 22. But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. And then 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. I want you to think about those verses for just a moment. What was the thing that kind of was weaving in and out of those verses? Increasing, growing, multiplying, supplying. This thing's not working. Supplying. That's one of the things that was kind of thrown. And notice, it wasn't just the word. It was like increasing in love for one another, increasing in your knowledge about God. You know, Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We get that first part right. For we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We must believe that He is. What is it that we believe about Him? Well, I mean, there are a lot of things about God. And what you can do is, in studying God's Word, in fellowshipping with the brethren, listening and growing through what others have to say, you know what? We can learn more about who He is, certain attributes. We can learn about being obedient to Him, being responsible to Him. We have a responsibility to listen to what He has to say. We have a responsibility to pray and to talk to Him daily. That's what we see. And so when we look at those verses, and at least as far as this introduction goes, in the context of everything that we're saying, God does things He does growth in stages. In the Last Day newsletter, Leonard Ravenhill, he tells about a group of tourists who were visiting this picturesque village one day. And as these tourists were walking by, they saw this old man leaning up against a fence. And one of the tourists, he kind of said in sort of a smart-aleck way, "Well, was there any great people born here?" The old man replied, "Only babies." A snarky old question that really produces a profound answer, doesn't it? Only babies. Things happen in stages. Think about that from just the perspective of God and His Word, that things happen in stages. I mean, think about the world, for example. When you look back at Genesis, what do you see? You don't see, I mean, now God could have. He could have just snapped His fingers, if He has literal fingers. He speaks the world into existence. Couldn't He have just spoken it all at once? What do we see? We see 6 days of creation. We see a seventh day where He rests. And what do we notice? That there are stages of creation, stages of this world. And we see that over and over and over, that there are numerous stages. Think about how God has communicated to us in His Word. Have you ever thought about that? Now, Hebrews 1 verse 1 says, "God, who at various times and in various ways in times past spoke to us by the Father, but has in these last days spoken to us by His Son Jesus." Think about that passage for just a moment. He's spoken to us in various ways. God has used various stages. At one point, He spoke to fathers. At one point, He spoke directly through the law. At another point, He spoke to prophets. There were times where He used even donkeys to communicate to people. God used various stages of communication. Has in these last days spoken to us through Jesus. Jesus, what did He do? He delegated His authority to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved in godly men. And those men spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. God speaks to us even today in stages. So we see that even just not just in the creation, not just in the world, not just in the way He communicated, but also in stages of life. I'm looking out, and you know what I see? I see stages of life. Now, there are babies here. Actually, our baby's walking around somewhere. He wouldn't behave in church. Actually, he's not walking around. His mother's walking him around. There are little children here. I love seeing some of these little faces. That's the lifeblood of the church, knowing that there's a future. I see some who are in middle or high school age, college age. How many of you are in college right now? Raise your hand. Okay. Praise God for spring break. Amen. I mean, that's great, right? Get to come home and see some, get some real food for one, see parents, get some money, and then head back to school. There's some of you who are in the middle age of life, right? Young families, middle age of life. Some of you, you're in that stage where your hair is either turned gray or turned loose. Keith? Right? I listen to people talk about Ecclesiastes, and Solomon starts talking about the stages of life. And you kind of see it, right? Some of you can really relate to what Solomon is saying about life and the stages of life. God does things in stages. That's one of the things we learn. We introduced this passage from Mark 8 last week. We read it last week as well as today. And one of the things we talked about just was the statement that God made, or that Jesus made, what do you see? And that's kind of how we started this thing here, at least from my perspective of my first Sunday. I want to carry that a little further today, and I want to talk about stages for just a moment. I want to talk a little bit about the story itself, and then about stages of this church. But I want to ask this question. West Park is no exception to growing in stages. Now, sometimes we get frustrated with stages, right? We don't like stages. We live in an instant gratification society, right? That's why we have all these reality shows. You know, we get to see it happen right then. We don't want to wait for. I mean, you get it right now. We live in a time where we are in trouble financially. We're in trouble morally. Why? Because of instant gratification. We don't like to save. We don't like to wait for the experiences of the beautiful experiences of life in the confines of marriage. I mean, we have two children in our home because of instant gratification. Birth parents, you know, were not very responsible morally. We live in a world that doesn't like stages. And even spiritually, when we know God's Word and we understand His promises, we get frustrated waiting. I get it. We want to be there right now. Well, we want to be there yesterday, right? We don't want to wait for tomorrow. But maybe God is trying to get us to slow down and soak up the reality of the day and not get so engrossed in the future that we forget about what's important now. Jesus and salvation for those who are lost. And so let's just slow down for a moment and think. From this passage, a couple of things that we learn. We learn, number one, let me say this. I don't know if you've thought about this. This hit me this week. What would happen, what would have happened in the history of this church with West Park if within the first 6 months you got everything you wanted? I want you to think about that. What would have happened? I can tell you, if that were true, now, I'm here, so I wouldn't have been a part of that process. Now, that may be a good thing or a bad thing. Only time will tell, right? I'm hoping it's a good thing. I'm hoping you think it's a good thing. But just think about that. Seriously, what would within the first 6 months, if you got everything you wanted? Had your building? Would you be better off? Would there be greater turmoil possibly? Think about the people who have come and gone in the process of 5 years. Would you be one of those stories that, yeah, there's a for sale sign on that building. Great ambition at first and lack of really following through, or maybe they were just so divided. I don't know. I'm just wanting you to think. I believe God does things in stages, and I do see that there is benefit. And I hope you see there's benefit in how God works in stages. I mean, again, one of the things that impressed us was that you were willing to come in and set up. People are dragging stuff in out of trailers. And I said, these people want to be together. They want to be here. Would it be here right now if you got everything you wanted in the first 6 months? Would you have as many people actively and involved? That's just a thought to consider. Now, as we process the rest of this, think about number one, this idea that at first he saw men walking like trees. Jesus said, what do you see? He said, I see men walking like trees. He kind of, this miracle is sort of two stage, if you will. It's one of the only times that we see that. But Jesus doesn't just miraculously give him his sight immediately. And I thought about that. I wondered, you know, what that would have been like. I mean, the Bible does tell us to be diligent to study, to show ourselves approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling aright or very carefully handling, cautiously handling the Word of God. Have you studied the Bible and have you read passages you thought, this makes no sense to me. I don't understand this. And as you're studying and as you're trying to work it in your mind and what you do is you end up applying yourself more, you dig a little deeper, you ask questions, you start to read commentary, what are other people saying about this, and you look at it in context, what's written around it, and maybe what's the bigger scenario, what's the real story here, and as a result, I mean, you look back at those moments, and now you don't have many of those moments because you've matured, and you understand a little better, things are kind of a little clearer. But isn't that the way early Christianity is, that you're a babe in Christ and you don't see clearly at first? It's just blurry. It's like a vision, if you will, a blurred vision, rather. And I think that's the way this guy is. I mean, think about it. He's not been able to see. Now he catches just a blurred glimpse of what reality is like. I wonder what that was like for him. I wonder if that brought about an anticipation as he's hanging on to every word of Jesus. What is Jesus going to say next? I mean, this guy just gave me the ability to do what I've never been able to do before. I mean, I couldn't see before. Now I can see blur. I see like trees. I don't see clearly. It's a blurred vision. You've seen some of those videos, right, of people who are with technology today. You know, they can see, they're blind, and then they put on a special glasses or special goggles. I've seen some of those videos, and those people, they can't see clearly at first, but their emotion is just, I mean, off the charts, excited. Being able to see just images of something they've never been able to catch a vision of, to see clearly. And then they kind of tune those things in, and once they get them a little more fine-tuned, it's like, you're able to see clearly. I mean, the emotion. Can you imagine this guy at this particular stage in this miracle, that anticipation is high? And he's listening to Jesus. I mean, Jesus has just given him, although a limited ability, an ability to kind of see what his glory is like. The glory of God's creation. What were trees like before? Just stories. Words. Now it's a blurred vision. Everything eventually comes into play, right? Because the second part is that he eventually gets 20/20 vision. Parents, let me ask this question. Can you imagine what it would be like to never see the birth of your child? I mean, you're there. You hear the sounds. You know the right words, but you never get to see that beautiful face. You don't get to see color. You don't get to experience details. I mean, all of the beautiful things of this wonderful creation. About a month and a half ago, Christy and I were in the Smoky Mountains with our youth group at Challenge Youth Conference. I mean, you go into a place like that, and it never fails. Even kids that we take for the first time, you know one of the things they say? How could you say there is no God when you see a creation like this? You know, design demands the idea of a designer. Those kids say it every time. Adults that go with us for the first, they say, isn't this beautiful? We'll go on a couple of hiking trips with our youth group there. And one of the things that we'll hear people say is, look at this. It's just beautiful. Could you imagine never seeing that? Or could you imagine seeing it for the first time? Catching the glimpse of that beautiful baby's face. Once again, I've seen those videos on the internet where, you know, seeing a spouse for the first time, seeing a child for the first time, seeing green grass. I mean, how many of us thought about green grass this morning when we came into church? But that's when you're able to see clearly, you catch a glimpse of the glory and beauty of God's creation. The Bible tells us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You realize we're a day closer to heaven right now than we were yesterday? So if that's true, are we growing in respect to our meeting Jesus Christ? I mean, honestly, think about where you are. Are you better today than you were yesterday? If we're growing in grace and knowledge, that should be yes. If we're still getting hung up on those same old sins, if we're still acting in the same old unbecoming way, if we're still talking in the same old language we've always spoken in before Christ, then I want to tell you, we're not growing in grace and knowledge. But if we start to be better in every aspect, our vision's becoming clearer. Our knowledge grows. Our wisdom grows. Our faith is strengthened. And we understand better, don't we? That's the way it should be. But once again, this was a two-stage miracle. This was a two-stage miracle. And once again, noticing each stage is rather interesting in the growth of this individual. I mean, what happens when someone who is never able to see finally gets to see? I mean, I don't think that you had to talk to that guy long without him saying, I want to tell you what Jesus did. I mean, here's a guy who's been blind all of his life. I want to tell you what, there's this guy, Jesus, and one day some people ask him to put his hands on me and heal me. And I mean, I was a little skeptical, but, you know, I did it. And he did it. And guess what? I see. I want to tell you, that guy is the Son of God. Because only God could do stuff like that. That's a God-like thing. Is that how we talk today as we've been experiencing this miracle of salvation through the blood of Jesus? I mean, do we tell people, listen, I want to tell you about this guy, Jesus Christ. You know, he met me one day and he healed me of my sin sickness. I'm saved by his blood. Amen? Isn't it great to be a Christian? Well, surely it is. I don't know if everyone believes that, Keith, but you do. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Amen. Yes. That's what we're about. We're here to remember the greatness of our Lord and Savior and what He is able to do that no one else can do for us. This passage helps me to understand that Jesus doesn't do anything halfway. He's willing to take us all the way. And I believe that's true for West Park. I don't think God brought us to this point. At least I want to tell you, my life's depending on it. I sure hope God didn't bring me to Katy / Fulcher, Texas, just to say, you know what, we can't do this. First of all, I don't believe God's that way. Now, people are that way at times, but not our God. And I want to tell you, Jesus Christ doesn't do anything halfway. But it may be that just we're in that period now. Our faith's going to be tested. Are we going to put into practice what we've believed? Are we going to put into practice what we have envisioned will happen? Not for sure exactly. Over there? Right? I'm really not bad on directions most of the time. I think it's over there. You know, think about that. I mean, he does do things in stages. Even Jesus, looking back at that passage in Luke 2:52, what did Jesus do? He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Don't get discouraged. God does this thing one day at a time. Listen to what Amy Carmichael quoted in Tim Hansel's book called Holy Sweat. Sometimes when we read the words of those who have been more than conquerors, we feel almost despondent. I feel that I shall never be like that. But they won, step by step, little bits of wills, little denials of self, of self, little inward victories by faithfulness in every little thing. They became what they are. No one sees these little hidden steps. They only see the accomplishment. But even so, those small steps were taken. There is no one sudden triumph, no spiritual maturity. That is the work of this moment. I believe that's the work of God. I believe that's the way God moves with His people. What does God have in store for the next stage at West Park? I mean, I can't wait, and maybe right now it just looks a little bit like trees. But remember, God doesn't do things, He doesn't just go halfway. I mean, eventually we're going to be able to see the whole forest. And we're going to see the animals there, and we're going to see the grass, and we're going to see the sun coming through, peeking through trees and limbs and leaves. And everything's good. We're going to hear the sights and the sounds of West Park. But let's not jump the gun. Let's not get ahead of God. Let's take it one step at a time. You know what they say? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. You've stepped out in faith. Let's keep walking together. Amen? I don't know where you are in your response to Jesus Christ our Lord and salvation that He has to offer. I want to tell you that if you started your walk with Christ and you've fallen, you've made mistakes, maybe you've gotten back into that old habit, you've done something that's embarrassed your parents or embarrassed the church, or maybe there's personal things that no one else knows except you and God. You came to the right place today. We do not stand in judgment of you or your situation, but we want to help you to see Jesus clearly. Understand, growth's going to take some time, and maybe you're in that stage where that stage of life is not a stage where God wants you to be, and He's wanting to move you to the next one. Maybe that reevaluation stage, that's this moment. Or You've never stepped out in faith to become a child of His. Why not? What are you waiting for? Today's the day. If you need to respond in faith, become a member of the body of Christ, to give your allegiance to Jesus and be covered by His blood, then please come as together we stand and as we sing.